Into another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I am your host, Corey Kinnon, alongside my co-host, Dalton Miller. Today, we're going to be going over day two of the Senior Bowl. For all of you watching on YouTube, you can see I got my Bucky shirt on. I've been to Texas. I got a Bucky shirt. Couldn't leave without one. But we are going to dive into some day two tape, and we're going to have a, like, not really surprise. We didn't record early in the week because I was in Texas, so we're gonna record tomorrow night, too, and put out a day three episode on Saturday, too, we decided. So, we'll get into that too. But Dalton, how are you feeling? 2 days, I guess the Senior Bowl's over now by the time we record this. Yeah. We'll talk day three tomorrow. How are you feeling about this so far?
It's good. It feels a lot like when I'm sitting down and I'm watching the film instead of being there, it goes by a lot quicker. But because of who I am as a person and my inability to like watch team and watch 11 guys at one time, I really have to kind of hyper focus on a positional battle. Like I can't just watch the offensive line. Mm-hmm. I have to like sit there and watch Jeffrey Bassa. And then yeah. I have to go and like, that's just the way that I am. So it takes me forever to go through the tape. I went through and got the national tape and I barely even touched day two of American. I got to what I could. But I have so many freaking notes from the national day two practice. A ton of stuff from 1v1s from O-line, D-line. Watching 1v1s for running backs and linebackers.
It's awful.
The most hilarious thing that you'll ever.
You can't put linebackers with that much green grass on each side of them and expect them to be able to do anything in that drill. I don't understand the purpose.
It's tough because it made Cody Lindenberg look like he has never played football in his entire life.
Yeah.
Like just had absolutely no chance in hell.
It made Demetrius Knight, who's one of the more athletic linebackers in this quarter in this class, look completely lost. Like it's a pretty pointless drill.
Yes, it is. In my opinion. I mean, you can say the same thing about one-on-ones for offensive and defensive line, just because it's an environment that you're not getting that you actually get on the field. Like it's just two guys going at each other at 100%. There is no run pass. There's no, like, you don't have any real responsibility. So you're just going out and doing as much as humanly possible. And that's just not what the game of football is. You can't do that. So, it's tough. It honestly is. I know people want to make a huge deal out of the Senior Bowl and Shrine and stuff, and it can definitely help somebody. And it can help you go back and rewatch guys and see what you missed on tape. But tape from real freaking games is what this is all about. So, like, there's a couple guys that really have surprised me, and I have to go back and I have to watch their tape with a different viewpoint, good and bad. And we will get to some of them today from day two.
I love it. Let's dive in then. Let's start with the trenches.
Yeah, let's do it. Good surprise first.
Let's start good surprise first. Yeah.
Day two. I think we have the same guy here. Gray Zabel. I mean, just absolutely physically dominant, mentally dominant. I mean, he's not the best player there, but he might be the best offensive lineman there.
He might be the most consistent in the interior.
Yeah, so that's very easily.
That's the difference as well. Is like he's playing left tackle at North Dakota State.
Yeah.
And I freaking hate his left tackle tape at North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. But like what he's doing along the interior is dominant stuff. Like and his hands are so perfect.
And it's guys like Gray Zabel who the Senior Bowl is actually truly really important for.
Yes.
We have tape of even Wyatt Millam against really good. And that's not a good one because he's playing guard and he played tackle in college, but like, we have tape of, I'm trying to think of one of the other, Ariante Irsary. Yeah. We have tape of Ariante Irsary and Josh Connolly playing tackle against really good competition in real game situations. But yeah, guys like Gray Zabel is where it's really important, and he might be the best player there.
And then that's why it's honestly kind of frustrating that like Marcus Bowe is playing tackle at the Super
Bowl. He did play a little bit of guard and a little bit of center, but it's not enough in my opinion.
No. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing? I guess they say he's got the foot speed and 33 inch arms is good enough to
no, dude, his guard, but even his reps at guard and center at Senior Bowl have been better than his tackle tape. And he's had some decent reps out at tackle. I just don't think he's a tackle.
I don't either. So like, why are we like,
yeah,
what are we doing? So yeah, I think Gray Zabel's the big winner from that group. Looking at another offensive lineman who's really stood out to me. We talked about him a little bit off air, and you haven't gotten to day three national and I have, so this is kind of foreshadowing a little bit, but USC center Jonah Monheim as well.
I thought he had a really good day too as well. So there's that.
Because I don't like his tape. And again, this is his first year playing center, right? Like he was their left tackle with 30 inch arms, which is bizarre. In the first place, first year playing center at USC. And I thought he had some ups, but he also had lots of downs at center. And like his core strength, I think, is an issue on tape, but his core strength's not an issue at all. In these one-on-ones, dude, like he is dropping his hips and getting into the dude's chests, and he's not giving up ground in these one-on-ones. And even teams, man, I think he's scooping out blocks really well in teams. I think he's climbing really well in teams. And I think he's showing a lot of core strength in teams. Like, who is this guy compared to what we saw on tape this past year at USC?
Yeah. Yeah. This one hurts me because this is a bad surprise. And we might have known it was coming from the all-star circuit in high school where he might have had the worst bag drills of all time. He might just be the worst practice player of all time, and that is Arkansas edge rusher Landon Jackson, who I've been a big fan of for years now. There's no getting around it. He's getting his ass kicked in Mobile, and that again is going to make me go back and reevaluate the tape and what I am seeing, because I might just be too damn high on him.
Yeah. So we talked about this off air a little bit as well. So I tried to write up, I got about halfway through Landon Jackson's write up in Frisco in my hotel room, and I fell asleep with my laptop open. So I think we're on different ends of the spectrum in terms of his write up in general, or
And that's something that I'm really
pedigree excited coming into the event, but
I'm really excited about that episode later in the draft process where we talk about the guys we're just ages apart on, because there's another guy at the Senior Bowl who you're very high on and I'm very low on, who isn't having a great time, but that's in the secondary. Dude, a huge surprise, because I have not watched his tape yet, is Darius Alexander from Toledo.
Dude.
Oh my God. He is playing like a man possessed on the interior.
They've widened
him out as well on the edge a little bit. He's built a bit like a refrigerator. He's thick, but he's got some good juice. Like he was absolutely, I mean, I wrote him down multiple times, just nine. Nine is kicking ass. Nine is such a dog on the D line. He fights through double team. And it's not just in 1v1s. He's kicking ass in teams as well. And that's one I'm very excited to get to his tape. Nine with an inside long arm to club with deadly precision on 64 at left guard. And 64 is Jalen Rivers, somebody who I believe Brandon Thorne is very high on. I said, you know, long arm club, rips through the shoulder to win, straight path to the quarterback. He's dominating. And so, really, really excited to get to his tape after the Senior Bowl tape watching is all over.
Yeah, another edge rusher that I haven't watched either, and I started gathering buzz late, like literally right before the Senior Bowl, I started seeing people talk about him, is the UCLA edge, Olu Oladejo, I think.
99, yes.
That dude, so he is clearly extremely raw because he's a converted linebacker, but that dude has some heavy-ass hands, dude. Mm-hmm. His punch is tremendous. It's like he's wearing Hulk hands out there. He's working through the chest of dudes, and he's providing a lot of real shock value with that initial hit, and he's flexible as hell, dude.
He absolutely worked our guy Marcus Bow on the right side on one of those
that first reps. Rep, like one of the very, very first reps of that practice. Yeah,
he did.
But he's with heavy hands and flexible. So I think his hands are still really raw. I don't know if he knows what he's doing as a pass rusher yet, because he hasn't been playing pass rusher for a very long time. But yeah, dude, he's got some real juice.
Those are the guys that you're really interested in on day three of taking, dart throw at. Because I think that, like, if you get with the right private positional coach in the off season, I think that those guys are doing a really good job of taking these raw athletes on the edge and making them into competitive players. Is there anybody else on the defensive or offensive line you want to bring up?
Did we bring up Wyatt Millam yet?
No, we need to.
Dude, he's having a real rough week.
There's not really much
else. I don't know what else to say,
it's not good.
Long in his season without giving up a pressure, and it feels like he cannot
stop anything.
Find his footing in Mobile right now.
No. And part of his issue is Virginia Tech interior defensive lineman and
Ice Peebles is just shooting every freaking gap he can find, dude.
He shoots gap, and he's got a lot of juice in his hands as well in the interior for his size. So, fun player. I mean, I actually think that interior group is pretty good on the national roster just in general.
Yeah.
Because I think Joshua Farmer is a guy who is a little bit of a weird build for the player that he is. But even he's having a decent week on the interior.
Yeah. Two other names just to mention briefly. Your guy, Jamari Caldwell, I think has some pretty decent hips for how as dense as he is.
So what I really noticed is like the, I call it like phone booth lateral agility.
Yeah.
Like his ability to kind of just like barely cross face pretty quickly and get off the line and get north to south. He's really explosive for how compact he is. I don't think he's a great rusher, but I do think that
Where he's going to make his money. Yeah.
No, it's not where he's going to make his money. He's going to be a difference maker as a run defender. He's going to have to be.
Yeah. And then the last one, I don't 100% know what to do with because he's extremely stout, but my goodness, is he explosive. And that's David Walker, the Central Arkansas kid.
That's number 33, right?
Yeah, he's a little Tasmanian devil, dude. He is just firing through dude's chest. He's got nice hips too to threaten the outside shoulder, heavy hands. So he's having a real nice week.
Any wide receivers or tight ends you want to bring up or running backs from this group?
So running backs are extremely difficult to evaluate in all-star game settings.
I agree.
Because they're not going, I mean, they are going full going at 11s, but like guys aren't making tackles. So you're saying well, is that gap actually there if the interior defensive lineman like throws his hands at the running back? That's really hard to evaluate. Or like in 7-on-7, they're just catching checkdowns. Or so it's like it's extremely hard to evaluate what running backs are actually able to do. But from a wide receiver perspective, I kind of have a vendetta against some of these West receivers because they are running some of the worst routes that I've ever seen. Like they are taking 2 seconds to get off the ball, and it is just driving me insane with their TikTok routes that they're running. But from that group, I will say I'm pretty impressed with the Iowa State duo. I think Jaden Higgins is messing around a little bit too much at the line of scrimmage for being 6'3". Like, just get off and go. But dude, Jalen Noel, brother, that dude is not wasting any movement at all, and he cuts a freaking rug. Yeah. So I think Jalen Noel is the receiver, maybe at the entire event, that I'm most impressed with. Yeah. 100% from the West team, or not West team, the national team. 100% from the national team, the receiver that I'm most impressed with. I'm a little disappointed that I haven't seen Xavier Restrepo pop more.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know? Yeah. But I don't know if this is... It's funny because this is a situation where, like, I don't really think his game necessarily translates.
He's not getting popped over the middle. Right. Yeah. Like, that's where it's like, oh, he's really tough because he can still catch the football.
Yes, exactly. I think, like, you watch it and it's like a guy like Tez is a guy that's really going to stand out in this situation because he's just going to get open because he's 160 pounds. Like,
some of his releases, too.
Sure. But like during 7-on-7s and during team, he is consistently open over the middle of the field because just nobody can carry him in those situations. Mm-hmm. Somebody who was from the same football team is Terrence Ferguson. I think he's done a really good job of in really tight quarters because he's not a great athlete.
I was going to say.
He does a really good job of shielding defenders and finishing. Like he, in compete drill, shielded the defender with his offhand and just made a one-handed catch going to the ground. So he's flashing in that like tight end two at the NFL level. Mm-hmm. Decent blocker, can catch 15, 20 passes a year, but is going to be a solid guy in that role at the next level.
Yeah, I thought Harold Fannin had a better day.
Yes.
He looked a little more fluid, but I'm not going to over-exaggerate how fluid he is because he's not.
No.
But I think that's still a good football player at H and at F.
Yeah.
I think that's still a decent football player. But guys, I think you're going to have to manufacture a lot of touches for him to get him the football.
Yeah, guys who stood out for me at running back just by the way that they moved in a poor way, Ollie Gordon. He just doesn't have it anymore, man. And he's 230, 235. He's huge. He doesn't look like a running back. He doesn't move like a running back. It's not good. On the other side of things, LaQuinn Allen Jr. Oh my God. His ball skills as a wide receiver or as a running back playing wide receiver, it's outrageous. And then aside from that, Bashaul Tutten, somebody who just the way that he moves, the flexibility in his ankles and in his hips is so much fun to watch. And you don't get a feel for like the contact balance or vision in this, but just watching him move is a whole lot of fun for me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think one more tight end I want to throw out there is Elijah Arroyo. I'm extremely put on by what he's doing.
I think he might be the best wide receiver slash tight end that I've seen
on that
outside of Jalen Noel.
I think so too.
God,
I think so too. He's twitchy. He's twitchy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's overly vertically explosive, but he's getting in and out, and I love that. Love that. Anything else from the national squad?
We got to talk about the quarterback.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks for 1 second here.
Because, okay.
Yeah, sure. Just to say this, man, the Canadian kid is way over his head, and Dylan Gabriel is pretty freaking late to get to some concepts you would expect Dylan Gabriel to be able to get to.
Yeah, I think this is a situation where a guy like Dylan Gabriel is going to struggle because I think so much of what he does is dependent on knowing exactly where his guys are going to be, when they're going to be there. And that's why, like, the connection with Tez in this and the connection with Terrence is good. But outside of that, like, he doesn't look great. Mm-hmm. And I think Taylor, the Lurier kid, he's got a decent arm. He's got a decent arm, but his carriage is really low. His windup is excruciatingly long. And you're right. He's just a little bit in over his head.
Yeah, for sure. And that's to say that I think Tyler Shuck might be the best quarterback in Mobile, which is wrong.
He might be.
Which is rough. All right, American. Let's talk about it.
Yep. I think JP Acosta said it best. If you need a quarterback this year, no, you don't. American, for me, I think the big thing that stood out to me when watching them is Dionne Walker is just
brother does not have it.
He's just a person that is there.
The pictures of him going one-on-one against Willie Lampkin are really funny, though. The 5'10 center from North Carolina. Those are so funny. But yeah, I completely agree. He dropped out as well, so he's not playing in the game. I agree. We came in pretty low. Like, his tape is bad. Like, his 2024 tape is...
Yeah, I don't think it's very good.
Bad. Like, borderline day three bad. And I don't think he's doing anything in a setting that he should be able to put his explosiveness on display.
Yes.
To do anything to make me think otherwise. Like,
yep.
Man, I don't know what to do with guys who are 6'7" and don't have an ass to anchor. Like, no leverage, no anchor. What do I do with you? If I were a GM, like, I genuinely wouldn't even have him on my board. Like, I don't know where I would feel comfortable selecting him. Like,
I don't think that that's unfair. And
that's not to say I don't think he's draftable. That's just saying, like, if I were a GM, like, I don't think you're a top 100 player, and
it just wouldn't play on your
team. I don't know what to do with you. So, like, why would I take you?
Yeah. He just wouldn't play on your football team.
Yeah.
On the other hand, first of all, shout out to the Notre Dame Cats for playing in this, and doing all of this. But RJ Oben has really stood out to me. And I didn't watch a ton of the American side of things, but I think almost every single rep that I watched of his, he was standing out in a good way. Also, surprisingly, Tim Smith from Alabama has flashed a little bit on the interior. Out of all of those names on the interior,
yeah,
I mean, you're talking about some legitimate big time names on this team that play defensive tackle, and Tim Smith is the one that's standing out to me.
Yeah, run game specifically for me, like run game drills, team drills, 9-on-7 for sure.
Also,
I don't know if there's any upside there pass rush wise.
No.
Yeah.
Also, Princely Umemilin played like 5 consecutive snaps at 3 technique. I don't know what's going on there. I just needed to say that.
Yeah, I don't understand kind of why they're moving some guys. I know, like, they get a lot of feedback from the NFL that they want to see these guys at different places, but Prince at 3 tech makes no sense, and for Marcus Bowe not to be playing any interior or very few interior reps makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
let's start with the trenches again. I thought Emory Jones had a much better day too. Than he did day one. Obviously, there's the rep against Shamar Stewart that has gone viral, where Shamar just flattens and, like, unbelievably flattens that corner to the quarterback at 280 pounds. And it's just like, this cat is big different.
It's so tough, man. How do you justify it? How do you justify it? He's had 4.5 sacks his entire college career. He had like 1.5.
But a lot of it is him not finishing. Like, he has so many reps where, like, he's got Lenore Sellers wrapped up, and Sellers 6'4", 220.
With you, but when you're talking to the average fan who looks up stats, how do you sell it to that person? How do you sell him over a Mike Green, for instance? I know it is for us.
I got you.
But how do you sell that lack of production at an SEC school? Aside from, like, looking at the other side and be like, yo, his running mate went from super duper productive at Purdue to having much less production at Texas A&M.
Yeah. So
maybe it's a Texas A&M thing. Maybe it is a deployment thing.
I think I would start by saying that a lot of what Texas A&M is asking their edges to do is reactive. Like, there's so many times where they're just asked to eat up read option, and they're just surfboarding, you know, like, they're not asked to just fire off the ball and pin ears back. And I think that limits a lot of production. Where, like, if he gets, like, drafted by the Browns, they're going to tell him to run through the guy's chest every freaking play. Like, that's going to be a lot different than what he's asked to do at Texas A&M, where he's 280 pounds and 6'5" with 34-inch arms, and he has to surfboard to defend the read option. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that I think that's different. Kind of how I would explain it. And he's just one of those cats where I'm betting on the trades. You know, like, you can't be 280 pounds flat in a corner like that and, like, expect me to be like, well, he didn't have sacks. It's like, that's a one-of-one type player.
It's it very much reminds me.
One-on-one type player.
It reminds me of the conversation, like, with the difference between somebody like TJ Watt and Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. Like, you can just, with your eyes, see it. There is, like, an art. There's a freakishness to the way that Myles Garrett plays.
Yeah,
that you're like, that dude is the best in football. I don't care if he had 13 sacks compared to TJ's 20. I know for a fact who I would be more terrified of lining up against if I was an offensive tackle.
Yes.
And it is the guy that is 275, 280 pounds that can cut a rug and bend under a table and has a plethora of pass rush moves. And that's just the way that it is. The production is obviously there.
Yeah, and just wait. We got a month until he's going to go do some real nutty stuff.
Yeah, some he might be He might be 10-0 RAS guy.
He might jump 40 inches in the vertical jump.
That would
show. That's probably okay. Like 38.
I could see 38. Yeah, happening. He's just so dumb explosive.
Any other trench guys?
Not really.
I mean, Miles Frazier, the other LSU offensive lineman, I thought has had some really good reps in one-on-ones, offensive trench-wise. Carson Vinson, I thought, kind of came back down to earth a little bit yesterday after having a good day one, the Alabama A&M kid. Jonas Avainai, I think, is probably one of those negative surprises to me, you know? He's oversetting.
Shocking.
A lot.
Wild.
A lot.
It's so.
So I think that's a bad surprise to me.
It's so unfortunate because he is such a good athlete.
Yeah. At 338 pounds or whatever he is.
Yeah. It's just unnecessary for you to be doing all that, my guy. Yeah. I think this is the side where the linebackers have actually, like, really stood out. I do think that. Number two, the Oregon kid, has stood out. But yes, has
he's a national guy
for the national team.
Yeah.
But from the American side, you do have Knight, and I think Kaiser's playing well as well.
He is shocking.
These Notre Dame dudes. I'm gonna beat this into the ground. They're just well coached.
Yeah,
Jack Kaiser is not a great athlete. The dude just knows where he's supposed to be and how he's supposed to get there. And he's able to, like you were talking about the other day, he's able to find the crosser from the other side of the field. Like, these are the things that they do at Notre Dame that make them a good defense and make them a good football team and make these guys who aren't great athletes. And we've seen it over and over and over again with all of their safeties, with every safety that has come from Notre Dame. They've been decent pros without being great athletes because they're just glass eaters who are coached well. And that's Jack Kaiser at linebacker too.
Yep. I agree there. I think Smail Mondlin has had some good sideline to sideline reps, but overall, like, he's kind of performing how I expected him to, pretty up and down at linebacker. One more trench player I do want to mention before we move on from trench players is Ole Miss defensive lineman, for lack of a better true position, Jared Ivey. I think he's winning reps interior, exterior. Like, you put him anywhere you want, and this guy's winning. And I spoke to JJ Pegues, the DPR from Ole Miss that I really like, also their Wildcat quarterback and tight end. And he told me at the Shrine Bowl that Jared Ivey's the smartest player that he's ever played with as well. So just something to keep in the back of your mind.
Ivy is somebody who I came away from the tape really loving.
He's a top 100 player, man. He's
his feet are super heavy, but he's somebody who at 280 pounds, I think he's got a really solid pass rush plan. I think he's got heavy hands. I think that that plays as a base end if you want him to. And then I also think that he has enough ass to play on the interior as well. Yep. So I think he's a guy that you can do a lot with. If you were to line him up and just play him at 4-eye, I think that would be a perfect spot for him.
But agreed.
You need that role.
Let's move to secondary. There are a few guys that I want to talk about in the secondary. First one, I want to shout out Wisconsin safety Hunter Wohler. Because it felt like in all of his one-on-ones, the dude was straight on the hip of the tight end, and the tight end still made some tight window catch until the last rep, and he finally was able to punch the ball out. But, like, he was as good of coverage as could be, but the tight ends kept finding a way to catch the ball, and I tweeted out, it was like, I haven't seen this guy lose a rep, but I also haven't seen the guy he went against not catch the football. Like, it's, like, the most bizarre thing that I've ever seen, but he finally got one punched out. So I think he's doing a good job in off-man of sinking into hips. Of tight ends and hanging with them those settings. But I think the defensive back that I mentioned him yesterday that I really want to talk about is the Western Kentucky kid Upton Stout. Because this dude is sticky. And I think where I really want to see him, and I'm not going to be able to see him because it's an all-star event, is I want to see him tackle. Like if this kid can tackle, man, like this kid's going to play nickel for a long freaking time. Like he's 5'8", he's 5'9", he's not going to hang outside the numbers at the NFL level. Although Mike Sammer still is with Washington. So maybe I'm over presuming there a little bit, but if this kid can tackle and sling into some fits, which I'm not going to see this weekend. He's sticky, dude. He's twitchy. He's sticky. So I really like Upton Stout, what he's doing this week.
Yeah. I was so, upset after watching 1v1s on the other side that I couldn't on the American side. So I didn't watch a ton of the secondary guys yet for them. And the wide receivers for that matter. But I did see Dante Trader Jr., the Maryland safety, make a really nice play to take away a crosser from the opposite side of the field in teams, and Jalen Milroe just had to throw it at his feet. As he was carrying backwards. So that's about all I got from secondary and wide receivers from this group, man.
I got two more secondary that we can talk a little bit about.
Actually, one more. Jake Brenningstuhl was every single target in team was to him. So there's that as well.
Yeah. He's a decent athlete, fluid athlete at the very least, with some good hands. UCF corner Mac McWilliams, which doesn't sound like a real person, but he didn't lose a rep day two either. And like he was straight up running routes for dudes in one-on-ones, which is always really impressive when, again, corners don't have any levers to play with in one-on-ones to see them be able to do stuff like that. And then Maxwell Hairston is doing what we would anticipate Maxwell Hairston would do in an event like this. Mm-hmm. So he's been really awesome.
Oh, I can bring up one more. I felt both number 10s defensively from both teams have flashed for me. That is Jacob Parrish, and that is the Iowa State cat, Darian Porter.
Okay. Love it. Wide receivers, tight ends here. I have seen Mason Taylor drop a lot of passes through contact, which is a little disappointing for a guy who has top 50 hype.
And I love his tape.
Yeah.
He doesn't get the ball thrown to him very often, but he's got some like toe drag swag.
He does. And he's a fluid mover. But yeah, I've seen him let too many passes hit the ground where he's got a guy like draped on him, which stinks.
Yeah.
Outside of that, wide receivers that have stood out to me, Jalen Royals, dude.
Yeah, he's a ball player.
Love Jalen Royals.
I'm so happy to see him out of that horrific Utah State offense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whoever doesn't get Luther Burden can get an on sale version. I don't even call him like Dollar Tree version, because I think that is selling Jalen Rose way short of Luther Burden, but like I mean, the dude is dense. The dude will break tackles. He's awesome with the football in his hands, and he's winning off the line of scrimmage, man. So I really like Jalen Royals.
He's a better route runner than Luther Burden is right now, though.
And then Ty Felton, dude. Ty Felton continues to do good stuff for me from my vantage point at wide receiver. And so I think those are the American guys I want to shout out. And yeah, we don't have to talk about those quarterbacks.
Couple nice throws that I have seen from he was literally just in the national championship. Why can't I?
Riley Leonard.
My brain is obviously broken here. Riley Leonard has made some nice downfield throws. When he has had the opportunity, it's mostly been on like 7-on-7s and stuff, because once there's a pass rush, every single one of these guys is just checking the ball down to a running back or a tight end. But in 7-on-7 situations and in 1v1s, I do think that he is in this group thrown the most catchable ball, which I didn't really expect, because Jackson Dart, that's kind of like his thing. But yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
Shaw is the best quarterback here, which
I think Shaw is the best quarterback here. Yeah.
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 That's tough.
That is tough. I think it's tough. Jack Beck has a lot of praise online. He's not a guy that has done anything like stunning, in my opinion, for me to like.
I've watched him specifically because everybody is in love with him. And you're right. I haven't seen it like everybody else seems to see it.
Which that just means he's a consistent football player who's doing consistent thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to an extent, that's fine. But I think I'm on the same page as you there. I think that's it, man. I think that's it for day two. Yeah.
Cool. I'm good.
We'll be back tomorrow night for day three. Peace.